Morning, everybody. Well, we're actually fortunate to have sound this morning. Our generator quit yesterday, but luckily Roger, our neighbor three doors down, was fortunate enough to let us run a cord. So we'll have to see about what we can do for a generator for the next one, but we'll just have to see. Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you this Sunday morning, and we want to worship you, we want to praise you, we want to thank you for all you do for us. Father, we want to read from your word, we want to be fed, we want to grow in you and just get closer to you. We don't want to stand still. There's no standing still. We want to go forward, because you either go forward or backwards. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here and come together. We thank you for the track owners that allow us to do this. It's their property, and they could tell us we can't, but they're all supportive and let us minister your word. Father, we just thank you so much, and I just ask that you would now just fill me with your Holy Spirit to where I can give your message the way you intended. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody's probably heard about the book of Job in the Bible. This guy, he had an extremely rough life, or at least section of his life. And I want to read some of that. I want to start in Job chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." In other words, he was a righteous man. "He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East." Now, if you look at what this guy had, I mean, even in today's standards, that dude, he was sitting pretty. He was doing good. He was all right. And if I had all that, yeah, I think I'd feel like I'm doing okay. And that's now, you know, thousands of years later. So he was having a pretty nice life. But, you know, God and Satan were talking one day, which is kind of struck me kind of funny that God and Satan actually talked. But I guess why not? I mean, but they were talking, and here's how the conversation went. So I'm going to read that to you. It says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.'" And like I said, I mean, this is a righteous dude. I mean, he does all the right stuff, never messes up. When he messes up, he gives sacrifices. I mean, he was doing it just like he was supposed to. Then the devil comes back. He says, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." How are you saying, you know, sure, you know, this guy, he's living righteous. It's pretty easy. You got him in a bubble. You're taking care of him. He's not out there having to fight it like the rest of the world. You're just taking care of him. But take some of that stuff away from him and see what this guy does. That's paraphrased, obviously, but that's kind of the way it went. So the Lord says, "Very well. Everything he has in your hand. Very well, then. Everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Basically, and it's kind of hard to understand, but God said, okay, you know, if he doesn't have all that stuff, you know, I believe he's still going to be a righteous man. He basically gave Satan permission to harass Job. And from there, it went all south. And I can't read this whole book, obviously. We'd be here till this afternoon, so I do the short version, you know, condensed a la Heinz. Now, first he lost all his oxen, and the servants that were with him got killed. Then he lost all his sheep, and the servants with them died. He lost all his camels. The Chaldeans came and, you know, took all those servants that were with them. His sons and daughters, they were partying and carrying on, and the wind blew the house down on top of them, killed all them. I'd say by now things are getting pretty bad. But what did Job do? I would say, I know I've never had it that rough, but let's see what Job did. I want to read out of starting verse 20. It says, at this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and then he fell down to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Now, most of us, including myself, you know, when things really go bad, it's like, why is God doing this? Why is God allowing? I mean, God doesn't do bad things to us. But he does have the power to stop them. And there are times that he chooses to let things happen the way they play out. And we don't understand it. So a lot of us, and like I said, including myself, we have a tendency to say, God, why are you letting this happen to me? It ain't right. Man, I don't deserve this. I don't know why I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it any more than the next person. Or, you know, you just go on with that. And you get pretty angry at God. Which, that's okay. You can get angry with God sometime. He understands it. But Job here, he's like, you know, I'm still going to praise God. Even so, all this is happening. And it says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And that's pretty amazing to still be able to do that after you lose pretty much everything you have. And if you ever get a chance to read the book of Job, you should. Because this is just barely scratching the surface in the book. I mean, it goes on and on, man. This guy gets, and he gets sick. I mean, he gets boils all over his body. I mean, it just gets worse and worse. I mean, his wife turns on him. I mean, it's just completely crazy what he has to go through. But in all that, Job never turned on God. I mean, he just believed in him. And it's just totally amazing that he was able to do that the way he does. But how did he get to the point to where he could do that? I mean, how do you suffer through hardship in life? And I want to preface this. I mean, not all hardship is from God. He doesn't just sit there and let all this happen. A lot of this stuff we bring on ourselves. Probably most of it. You know, we make bad decisions. We do stuff that's wrong. And it ends up catching us. And, you know, we end up struggling through stuff. And that's just the way it is. And there's typically a lesson in all of that. I mean, God doesn't, he wants the best for us. And the whole purpose behind what God does is to grow us and get us closer to him. But how do we get to the point where we can praise God when things go wrong? Well, I want to read a verse out of Psalms. It says, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, the writer of the psalm here says, hey, I trust God no matter what. I mean, what can man do to me when I got God on my side? I want to read another verse. It says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. Now, how do you get to that point? Because it's really easy for me to read this. It's even easier for me to tell it to you, as long as it ain't happening to me. I mean, it's always easy. You know, people have good intentions. You know, they'll come up, oh, I understand where you're at. You know, it'll be okay. Just trust God, and then they move on. Like, okay, now you said it. Now tell me how to do this. And you got to work up to it, is the way I have to say that. It doesn't just happen overnight that you trust God 100%. Now, part of it is you have to make the decision to trust him. But you got to let God prove himself to you. And I'll do a little comparison to motocross, since we all kind of know a little bit about that probably. When you go out on a track, say you got this one jump that you're afraid to do, You work your way up to it. And eventually you say, you know, in faith, I'm going to take this jump because I know this is going to happen. Well, the same way with God. You let God prove himself in the little things. Now, you pray about little things and you watch him prove himself in the little things. And then as things get bigger, you choose to trust him and he will prove himself. And after a while, you're like, you know what? He did me right back here. He did me right here. He did right here. And you start being able to trust him in the big things. But if you don't start with the little things and work your way up to it, odds are it's going to be really hard for you to trust him in the big things. And that's where the comparison to motocross is real good. If you don't start with the little jumps and start learning those, you better not do the big ones because you're probably going to fall down on them. So I say give God a chance. Pray about the things that are right or wrong in your life. Let him prove that he takes care of you. Because that is what he wants to do. And I want to read another verse. Because this verse, you'll be able to do this right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. In other words, it may not make sense. You don't know why things are happening. Other people that are trying to be nice to you and help you through things may not know the right things to tell you. They probably think they do, but they may not. But if you, this verse, I mean, I love these two verses. It's out of Proverbs 3, it's verse 5 and 6, and I'm going to read it again. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that's a guarantee. And if we believe that the Bible is the word of God, we can believe this. And in conclusion, I just want to read a little bit more out of Job, just to see how his story ends. It says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter, he named Jemima. The second, Keziah. The third, Kiran Hapuk. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so he died, old and full of years. Now, if you remember what we read at the beginning, I'd say in the end, things were better than they were at the beginning for Job. And I'm not saying that when things get tough, God's going to bless you with stuff, because it's not about stuff. But I am saying that I am guaranteeing that God will bless you and things will get better. That's a guarantee. So my question to you would be, how will your story end? Now, will you turn bitter? Will you just blame God for everything, turn bitter and turn away from him? Or will you do that one verse that I just read? I'll read it a third time. What the heck? I like this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Hang on to that. Take that home with you. Just remember it. Think about it. And then do as I said. Start trusting him in the little things. Because then when the big things start going bad, you can start trusting in them and he can prove himself to you. But the one thing I do have to say, in order for that to work for you, you got to start by knowing Jesus. Now, most of you here already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can take this just like I just did and wrinkle it up and throw it away. Because it doesn't really apply to you. In order for that to apply to you, you got to know him as your Savior. Because then God can help you as much as he wants to. And as much as he loves you, he really does want to help you. So, I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward, but if you don't have Jesus in your heart as your Savior, if you don't have never committed your life to him, trusted him, that he died for you on the cross, rose 3 days later, and he's now in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. If you don't believe that or have never made a decision to trust him as that, see me later. I'll be here all day. You can come and see me. I'll be glad to pray with you or just explain it better to you. Because you need that to make all the rest of it work. With that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for the examples that you put in your Bible that we can use to live our life by. Father, we just thank you for everything you do. And I ask right now that you touch each person here, pour out your Holy Spirit on them. And like I said, help them trust you in the little things so when the big things come along, they have something to look back against and go, you know what? I trusted him there and it worked, and I'm trusting him again. We thank you so much. Father, touch every person here. There's somebody here right now that's going through hard times like that. I ask that you would just pour out your Spirit on them and help them to see that you are there, that you're going to see them to the other end. And I pray that the story that of their life is going to be like Job's, where it all ends positive, like you intended. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the cooler temperature. It's going to be an awesome day racing. We ask that you protect us, watch over us, let us have a good time. As always, do it for your glory and not ours. And just keep us all safe. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.